I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me as we begin in the New Testament book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I have sought all of my life as a preacher to be a Bible preacher. That comes, of course, from many emphases that have been given to me, placed upon me. One in particular is my pastor, Dillard Hagin, to whom I give honor at this moment. Now, Brother Hagin said to me, if you learn to preach the Bible, you'll never run out of anything to say. And I appreciated his comment and have kept that in my heart and mind all these years. Moving toward 50 years in the ministry. And I'm dealing with the subject in this hour of what every child needs to know about the Bible. And when I'm finished, you will know that this requires more than one message. But I'm going to do my best. What every child needs to know about the Bible. A child without the Bible going through life is like a child going through life without ever really truly knowing God. Think about that. When you hold the Bible in your hand, you hold the written revelation of God to us. It is God's revealing himself. And if you separate that revealing from a human being, that means that human being makes this journey in life without ever really knowing the Lord. And so as I sense this subject pressing on my heart, I'm saying this is what we must do so that children come to know the Lord. Whatever child needs to know about the Bible, it is what the Bible does to bring them to a knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible tells us about perilous times, and the list goes on. I think we all realize we're living in them, but many people in other generations have thought the same thing. And when we come down to the 16th verse in the 3rd chapter, the apostle says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This expression, the man of God, does not necessarily mean it's limited to a preacher of the gospel. Sometimes we hear that expression and say, he's a man of God, he's a man of God. I've known many men of God who were not ministers of the gospel, but who were godly Christian people. I also believe that we can take this gender thing as far as man is concerned in this particular case and say we're dealing with all people, men and women. You could be a woman of God also if you are fully furnished with the Word of God. So this is really for everyone. And the verse that precedes it is most amazing. The Bible says in verse 15, and that from a child, thou shalt know the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that from a child. You ever wonder what the childhood of Timothy was like? We learn clues about his life and his mother and his grandmother and their faith in God. And no doubt the things that they were teaching that child. A child and the Word of God. God connects these two things together. Childhood and Scripture. And most often when we're dealing with children and young people, we try to fix what's been broken already instead of doing preventative things to keep it from ever breaking. Most of the counseling I have to do when it comes to children and young people has to do with the problem they've developed. Now we know we're all sinners by nature, and sin is expressed in Isaiah 53 as sheep, everyone going his own way and choosing his own way. And so that's basically what's at the heart of all of this. But God has another way for us. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death, the Proverbs tell us. And so the way we're on by nature is not God's way, and our way must be changed. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Childhood and Scripture. There is such a thing in health care as what we call preventative health care, meaning you do certain things the doctors always wanted you to do and follow instructions about diet and weight loss and exercise and all those things. And these bad things we read about more than likely won't happen to you. But most often we don't follow that admonition and we get involved in things we shouldn't get involved with, and we allow our physical being to digress to the point that it needs a lot more attention than it would have needed because of diet and lack of exercise, the wrong diet, and all these kind of things. I just want to use that as an analogy to put alongside this idea of the Scripture. The Bible should begin in childhood. Children should begin with God. They certainly can't understand everything that an adult Christian could understand, but I will say this, is my firm conviction, they can understand much more than any of us would ever imagine. So what is it every child should know about the Bible? They should know God through His Word, no doubt about that. I want you to turn with me, please, back to the book of Genesis, please, just for a moment. And we see a world without the written revelation of God's Word. Centuries passed before there was any written revelation of God's Word. And the Bible says in the 6th chapter of Genesis, begin with verse 5, and I'm going to encourage you to write these verses down. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God looked on a Bible-less world, a world with no written revelation of God, no Bible, and he says, this is what I saw, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of his hearts, was only evil continually. And I say to you that when we're looking at our world and we're watching the behavior of people, human beings, the degraded behavior we witness and more pronounced than it seems than ever before, we're watching the sad results of a Bible-less world. It's not that the Bible is not available. It's that people are totally removed from the Word of God. It's scoffed at in most places. They think only the weak-minded believe it. Majority of people, I say majority of people, have neglected it. Though some of the greatest people who have ever lived on earth have put the emphasis on the Word of God that everybody ought to place. But this day and hour, it seems like childhood and life has lived one way and the Bible is laid aside on the other side, never intersecting with the life, the development, the decisions of people, especially not in childhood. Be careful, they say. Don't prejudice them against things. But you tell them to brush their teeth, to get out of bed, to work hard in their studies. We do everything we possibly can to improve what we think needs improving. But to grow a person without God creates a monster of a person. The Bible says, whose thoughts of his heart are only evil continually. So we've got a lot of work to do, not only in the lives of our children, but to influence the lives of other children across our land and in our communities with the Word of God. I want you to turn again with me, please, to the Psalms. And this familiar psalm, Psalm 78. The Bible says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. In other words, God places an emphasis here by saying they must not be hidden from the children. We must make sure, open to the children. The children are open to the Word of God, to what God says in His Word. The Lord even says of Abraham, if you want to look with me, please, in the book of Genesis again, when God calls this man, to whom and through whom He makes Himself known and raises up a mighty nation, in Genesis chapter 18, God says in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 18, just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, of Abraham He says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him, that he will command his children." When you open the Word of God and begin to read Scripture, you find the greatest emphasis placed on what God says is needed in the life of children. Children. I read somewhere long ago that in this country we have more than 1,000 throwaway children every day. And I thought, what in the world is a throwaway child? It means a deserted child, a forsaken child, a child who's cast aside, a child whose family is through with them. Most often, a child that is deserted, like you might throw out a piece of trash inappropriately, but do it from your car window. I knew a wonderful young lady and her sister who were carried to a shopping center in Florida. The mother said, "I'll be back." It was about 10 o'clock in the morning. The girl and her sister waited all day. The mother never returned. Finally, the stores closed. Darkness came. Police came by and found these two little girls in front of the shopping center standing under a street light because they were frightened, with no idea what was to become of them. Their mother never came back. She intended to leave them, literally leave them, and neglect them to that extent. They were, of course, carried to a home, placed in foster home, later adopted into fine Christian homes, and both of them serving the Lord. And I praise God for that. But that's not the good ending for most incidents like that. But the tragedy is not that. The tragedy is how many people say they have a Christian home. How many people have Bibles laying around everywhere. And they allow their children to grow up without ever learning about God through His Word. Without the diligent instruction given to them that God orders us to do. And they are Bible-less children. May I go a little farther? God-less children. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Word of God tells us in the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 19, I'd like for you to see this. "Speaking of your children, and ye shall teach them your children." He's talking about the commandments of God, the words of God. Verse 18 says, "Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and your soul, bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, that thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates," to teach them to thy children. The child heart is the most fertile ground for the Word of God that we'll ever find. And once that child develops and that fertile heart passes to another stage and begins to harden, we'll never have the opportunity that we did have at one moment to teach the Word of God to that child. The Bible and children. Now the Word of God, as I said, teaches us that there was a Bible-less time in human history. No written revelation of God's Word, but there was a knowledge of God. I want you to look with me, please. In the book of Romans, the Bible tells us there was a knowledge of God because there's a knowledge of God in every human life. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. So every human being who ever lives knows there's a God. I remind you of the comment made by Helen Keller. Helen Keller lost her sight and her hearing very, very young. High fever, I think maybe 6 months old. Don't hold me to that, but I remember about that time I read that Helen Keller's terrible ordeal. And Annie Sullivan came to help her. And so there's a great story about this miracle worker, Annie and Helen. But when they brought a famous preacher by the name of Phillips Brooks to speak to the blind, deaf Helen Keller, Helen had been recognized as a very intelligent young lady, capable. She was a college graduate. She excelled in her studies. But when Phillips Brooks talked to her about the Lord, she asked his name. And he said, "His name is Jesus." And Helen Keller's response was, "I have always known, always, there was a God. I just did not know his name." And I want to tell you, every child on the face of the earth knows there's a God. But untold millions of them don't know his name. Our responsibility is to get the name of Jesus to them. Because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They cannot be saved. They grow up godless because there's only one way to God. That's through his son, the Lord Jesus. And our work is to get God's word to children. What do they need to know about the Bible? Again, I want you to read with me, please, in Romans chapter 2 and verses 44 and 45. "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." Verse 15, Romans 2. "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another." So there are two witnesses concerning the Lord, the witness of nature, the witness of conscience. Turn to Psalm 19, please, just for a moment. I know I'm giving lots of scripture, but I want you to write it down so you can give it to your children. In Psalm 19, the Bible says in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." The Bible says God reveals his existence in nature. So you can meet a child anywhere in the world and that child will know there's a God. Because conscience has borne witness that there's a master creator. There's a God. They may not know much about him, but they know there's a God. Any human being who says there is no God, the Bible says, is a fool. Because he's trampling over the natural knowledge in nature that there is a God. That is also stomping over the witness of his conscience bearing witness that there's a God. But how do we know him? We know him because of the Bible. The Bible. May the Lord help me now. May the Lord help me. Every child needs a Bible. I think children need a Bible even before they can read it. They need it. You may not put a lot of money in a copy of God's word that you give them before they can read it, but they didn't understand that this book is like no other book on earth. It's like no other book they'll ever hold in their hands. It is unique in the sense that it's one of a kind. It's the only book God ever wrote. The Bible. I know it's quite popular for people to carry their Bible on some device like the one I have in my pocket. And I'm glad if somebody's out somewhere and they can't find any Bible copy of the Word of God, they can open up their phone and find the Bible on it. But I recommend that people have a copy of God's Word in their hand. Carry a Bible with you. Learn to read the Bible from the Word of God, from the Bible printed. I hope you'll learn the story of the Bible and how you got a printed Bible. I hope you'll tell somebody sometime and the children will know the story of Gutenberg and 1450 and the press, even though there might have been printing similar to that in China, that someone God dealt with to invent the printing press and brought the whole world out of the Dark Ages. That's a nice, interesting historical study. But the historians don't tell you that he printed the printing press and the first thing, or built the printing press, the first thing he did with it is print a copy of God's Word. They need to know something about that. You can tell them the story of the English Bible, how we got the English Bible, how they get the translation of the Bible. But don't make the mistake of talking so much about the Bible that they don't learn the Bible, and more importantly, learn the God who reveals himself in the Bible. So let's write down just a thing or two. Let's tell children about the birth of the Bible. The birth of the Bible. God gave birth to the Bible. It's his word. He gave birth to the Bible. When we were reading from Genesis just moments ago, remember, we lived in a society, they lived at a time when there was no written revelation of God's word. That went on for centuries. And God was working, moving in a mighty way. Even in innovations like paper from a plant in Egypt to use to write on from the papyrus plant. All these things, exterior things, circumstantial things moving. God was preparing the world to have his word. And so he gave birth to the Bible. Birth to the Bible. Let's go back to Romans just for a moment, the third chapter. There are many reasons to thank God for the Jewish people. But the Jewish people are the people through whom God gave birth to the Bible. Notice what God says here. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit if they're of circumcision? Now, Paul is in this discussion about all men being sinners. Finally, he says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But on the way to that conclusion, in Romans 3:23, he says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 2, much every way, chiefly because that unto them, them, this personal pronoun connected to the Jew, unto them were committed the oracles of God. God raised up a people through Abraham. God raised up a people, and to those people and through those people, he made himself known to the whole world in his word. And praise God for it. Oh, I tell you, there's so many things in this book I want to tell you about God and his word. And the word of God says that he gave birth to the Bible, 40 different authors, 1,600 years, human penmen putting down what God gave them. We'll talk about it in a moment, how they got it. And the Bible was born. Have you ever looked at a child and think the potential in that child? Have you ever seen something that's been given and think, oh, how mightily that gift could be used? Well, God gave the world the Word of God, his Word. And the birth of the Bible came from God. Let's talk about a second thing. Children need to know not only the birth of the Bible, that God gave it. By the way, that places a great emphasis. If you believe the Lord gave the Savior, remember that. We know about that because God gave birth to the Bible. And we know the Savior through the Bible he gave birth to. The second thing is the inspiration of Scripture. The inspiration of the Bible. There are two times that word is used. Inspiration of God. I want you to find one of them in the book of Job, would you please? In the book of Job, find the 32nd chapter. I want you to make note of these and mark them down, if you would, please, so we have this before us. Of course, I read to them, one of them to you earlier, and I want you to get it. But in the 32nd chapter of the book of Job, the Bible tells us about this inspiration. The Word of God says in verse 8 of Job chapter 32, "But there is a spirit in mankind, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." Underline that expression, would you please? The inspiration of the Almighty. There is a manner revealed to us in the Bible that God used to get His words to mankind. He gave birth to the Bible. It's not just from one mouth to another in the oral passing on of the Word of God. He chose a group of people, the Jews, as I said, and to those people He made Himself known, and they began to write down what God told them. And what God used in that method, He says here, is inspiration. It's the manner that God used to get His word to mankind. And I don't think we'll ever fully understand inspiration. I do not believe we're just talking about men being machines and God writing down what they said, because human personality is using that. But we do know it was the Word of God. Always the Word of God. Look with me, please, if you would. I'm back again where we started in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, as God talks about His Word. Verse 16. Again, verse 16. So, how does it happen? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God. That's the manner God used to get His word. Children can know that. They get a greater understanding of it, knowing that this Bible was given birth by the Lord to them. It is this most unique book. It's a book about God. They hold it in their hand. They have a translation of Scripture they can read. But it was given by inspiration of God. The inspired Word of God. Turn with me, please, to what Peter wrote in 1 and 2 Peter. Let's just mark this in our Bibles. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Would you mark that? And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, your children and children you know are going to live forever. They have an eternal soul. Someday they're going to grow old like some of us. But they're going to live forever. And the word of God that's put in their hearts and minds, that came from God by inspiration to over 40 different authors, about 40 different authors over 1,600 years, to pin down, to write down what God said in word, when we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture, meaning every word of it. He didn't just inspire thoughts that they wrote, but He gave them the words. It's going to live forever. Think of putting something in your children that will live forever. What should they know about the Bible? They should know that the Word of God is so precious it came from God. It was born because of the Lord, He gave birth to it. It's a book like no other book. And when they memorize it and hide it in their hearts, it will live forever. Every word in God's word was settled in heaven in the heart and mind of God before any word of it was ever given to man. Children can know this. Look again, please, what the Bible says in the book of 2 Peter. If you turn there with me, 2 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says, verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." In other words, they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they heard God speak. And Peter's writing and said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now somebody said, "Oh, I'd love to have been there on that mountain When Jesus was transfigured in the glorious likeness he shall come in, he was shining brighter than the sun. When the garment of deity was shining through, we didn't just see him in flesh, we saw him in the brightness of that glory. Oh, what a day that was. We'll never forget it. Look what the writer Peter says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the way God gave it. I can't understand everything about it, but I have this divine guarantee from God's word that we have everything God wants us to know about him in this book. And if you say, oh, I'd like to take my kid on the greatest journeys in the whole world and see the most wonderful, fascinating things and tell them, that's good. I've tried to do that for my children, my grandchildren. But God says no experience you'll ever have in life is more powerful and more valuable than the word of God. He uses this word. He said it is a more sure word of prophecy. That if you're an eyewitness there on the Mount of Transfiguration and say, I saw the Lord. Peter said, that's great. But everybody who has the word of God has a more sure word of prophecy, which liveth and abideth forever. Children need to know that. You know, the problem is not entirely with the children. It's with those who are responsible to teach them, who have not placed the emphasis on the Bible because of an overemphasis on everything but the Bible. Even in our churches, we try to do everything we can to keep them safe, to make the places where they meet as comfortable, as exciting as possible. Even words today are used like fun, games, excitement. I want to know something. I want you to know something. When I started out in the ministry, those words were never used about Sunday school. Fun, games, excitement, never used. There might have been Bible games. Most church brochures you read advertising a church and what's going on with children try to make the same appeal to children that you'd make in a carnival. What does that tell us about the emphasis? Now, we ought to be exciting. It ought to keep their attention, every bit of it. But the content of what they're getting is more important than anything else. God says they're to get his word, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You could go through all the things involved in some of these religious services. As a matter of fact, in some churches, they have children's meetings. And we need to do a better job than we're doing. Honestly, I'm so convicted about that. We need to do a better job than we're doing. But some children never come inside and hear the preacher or pastor. They don't even know who the pastor is. They have some sort of children's ministry somewhere, and then they get a little older and get a preteen ministry. They get a little older and get a teen ministry. And then they never go to big church. It's not big church, it's church. We don't have big church, little church, middle church. We have one church. One church. We have one book, the Word of God. And what do children need to know about the Bible? Surely we don't teach a child who's 3 years old things from God's Word the same way we'd use the same methods and we'd use with a person 30 years old. I understand that. I was trained as a teacher in college. I understand that. But still, it's the same thing they need to get. It's the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The birth of the Bible, God gave birth to it. The inspiration of the Bible, inspired of God. But mustn't forget the work of the Bible. The work of the Bible. Children must learn to use their Bible and find in their Bible. For years I've said, you know, we read the Bible, we search the Bible, we compare Scripture with Scripture. Would you write those words down? We read the Bible, search the Bible, compare Scripture with Scripture. We memorize the Bible, we meditate on the Bible. So we want our children sometimes to be involved in and Bible search things. That may be a game that's Bible search. Bible quiz, Bible drills, because we're trying to help children learn how to use the Word of God, to use it. It's going to become a companion for life. It's God's Word accompanying them all through life. A precious treasure. They run into something they don't understand. They want to go to God's Word and get answers. They want to memorize and meditate upon the Scripture they memorize and have God speak to them through what they've memorized and meditated upon. Challenge them to learn the books of the Bible, to learn where to find things in the Bible. I was a Bible-less person until I was about 17 years old. And a pastor visited the home where I was staying. He asked me to go to my bedroom and find a Bible. I brought my little copy of the Bible, neglected, put away somewhere. I knew where it was, but wasn't using it. And he challenged me to find something in the Bible and told me where it was, an Old or New Testament. I act like I was going to do so, but he was serious about it. He wanted me to find a verse. He wanted to read it to me. I had to hand it back to him. And I said, Pastor, I don't know where that is. I didn't know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I didn't know the books of the Bible. Didn't know the characters of the Bible, the stories of the Bible. Had no idea. Can you imagine? Someone would say, how are you doing in high school? Making good grades? Plan to go to college? Well, that's, I think so. What are you going to do? How'd you do on a biology test? Well, I think I did well. How'd you do taking Latin in the eighth grade? I think I did well. Miss Gass was a great teacher. But I knew nothing about the Bible, nothing about God, nothing about God's Word. I didn't even have memorized John 3:16. You say, what a terrible home. Be careful. Be careful. You may be talking about your home where everything imaginable has been emphasized other than Scripture. Now, I still don't think that we need to sit them down in a corner somewhere in a chair and stand in front of them like some lecturer and drill it in. Just kidding. I said to my wife when she said, we're going to read through the Bible to our children. I said, what do you mean? We're going to put a funnel in their ear and pour it in? I was being, ridiculous. And I was a minister. She said, no, we're going to have the discipline to get up in the morning and we're going to get dressed a half hour earlier than we need to be dressed, and we're going to go into a room and sit down quietly and open the Word of God and read a chapter from the Bible quietly to our children every morning of their lives. Without your preaching and commenting. And then we're going to pray. When they got older, they read part of the chapter. When they got a little older, they prayed. We prayed around the room. In the evening, we read Bible stories to them. We created these Bible reading guides, 12 volumes of these Bible reading guides for family devotions that cover 376 stories from the Bible. Because children need God. They need God's Word. If they don't get God's Word, they can't get God. And they're going to grow up godless, because Bible-less means godless. What do children need to know about the Bible? Well, they're not going to know much if they don't learn to use it. You can make an exciting thing out of memorizing, you and your home, about memorizing, award them for memorizing the books of the Bible. You say, I got my kids in a Christian school. I give that responsibility to some Christian educator. That's not good. Christian educators ought to be doing that. But children need to hear God's Word and hear about God from their parents, because parents are to pass that to their children so their children can pass it to their grandchildren. That's God's way. And the work of the Word of God, make us wise to salvation, teach us doctrine, reprove us, correct us, and instruct us in righteousness. That many times in life you meet a child that's now 19, 20 years old who needs to draw from his salvation, Christ in him, the hope of glory. That comes from the Bible. That many times you meet a child who needs to get some real position on a great issue. Why he doesn't advise a girlfriend to get abortions, or why he doesn't get drunk or put alcohol in his body at all. He's to learn that from the Word of God before the temptation ever comes. There are many times there needs to be a reproving. That's not right. That's not the way to do it. That comes from the Word of God. A correcting. This is the way it ought to be done. Who says so? God says so. You know, and God does say so. I brought a little thing here with me about inspiration, just about what the Bible says. Listen to this. In the case of Moses, we're told God spake these words. God spake them. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus chapter 24, verse 4. Moses wrote the words of the Lord. Think of that. Exodus chapter 35, verse 1. These are the words which the Lord hath commanded. The psalmist said, as he talked about David, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. That's David's testimony in his life in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2. Isaiah the prophet, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. Isaiah 1, 2. Jeremiah the prophet, the word of the Lord came unto me. Jeremiah 1, 4. Ezekiel saw visions of God and wrote, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1, 3. Daniel wrote in God's word that he received his visions from the Lord and from the lips of Gabriel. In Daniel chapter 19, verse 21, chapter 9. Amos wrote the words which he saw concerning Israel. John on the Isle of Patmos, the book begins, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. You see, children need to learn that these are God's words. This is God's word. God is speaking. Who says so? God says so. God says so. Oh, there's so many things to say. Maybe I'll come again someday. Let's pray together, may we?